Revelation 18, if you'll turn to there with me this morning. The last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. I believe we're living in many of these chapters that we read about today, and some of the things we see transpiring in our society and our world certainly today lead us to believe we're living in the last days before Jesus shall return. So in Revelation chapter 18 this morning, I want to read about three verses. We're going to look at some other verses in this chapter, but I want to read about three verses this morning, and you listen to them very carefully. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." Then in verse number 16, "And saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." And then in verse number 19, "And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein we were made rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." Lord, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for this group that has gathered today, your people that have gathered this morning to listen to your word, and today, Lord, to be guided and directed by it. We ask you this morning, Lord, that as we look into your word, you guide us and direct us and show us what you would have us to do. We thank you this morning for Jesus Christ and his salvation that he brought through to us through his blood. We ask you now, you bless this service. Bless the hearer this morning, and let the Spirit of God have free reign in this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. What about a church at one Sunday when they arrived at church and everybody began to come in? They noticed something very unusual. Right in front of the pulpit, there was a casket. And everybody was wondering what in the world was going on. And so when it came time for the preaching service, the preacher got up and said, "Well, I know you're all kindly wondering what's going on. So we had a sudden death, and they asked me to have the funeral this morning. And so I told them it would be all right, and we'd just do it during our regular service." And everybody thought, "Well, I guess that's okay." And he walked over, and he unlocked the casket and raised up the lid, and he said, "Now I want everybody to pass by and view this before I preach this funeral sermon." And so as everybody began to pass by, lo and behold, in the casket was a picture of the church. And he said, "I want to preach a sermon on the death of a church." But this morning I'm not going to talk about the death of a church. But here in Revelation chapter 18, I think we have the funeral sermon for the world. We find that it's a lamentation this morning that you find here in Revelation chapter number 18. If you notice this morning in the three verses that I read in your hearing, they have one common theme, and that theme today is the word alas. And alas this morning is a lamentation, an expression of grief and sorrow this morning. We understand this morning that when we begin to look at the scripture today and we begin to look at this scripture, we need to understand something about Babylon. And we know that, of course, that it was an ancient city that was built by Nebuchadnezzar, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And many people have visited there and saw the hanging gardens and so forth this morning. And we know this morning that it was, of course, destroyed by the Medes and the Persians when Daniel prophesied unto Belshazzar. We could talk a lot about that city, but it goes way back beyond Nebuchadnezzar. After the flood, when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth and God told them to disperse, we find that they didn't really disperse. They gathered in a place called Babel. And there we find that they began to build a tower. And in Genesis chapter 9, 10, and 11, you'll find recorded what took place. And the Bible tells us as they begin to build this Tower of Babel that we can find here the first, well not the first, but we find here at in the times in which we live after the flood, rebellion against God. And that's what Babylon really refers to today. That's what Babylon really is all about as you read through the scripture. It's about a rebellion against God. We find that the ruler, of course, of the Tower of Babel was a man by the name of Nimrod today, and I don't want to get into that, but I want you to understand what it was all about. Babylon is about man control instead of God control. It was about man determining his destiny instead of God determining his destiny this morning. You see, that's what men really want this morning. They want control over themselves. They want control over their own lives. They do not want to be controlled by God. This world in which you and I are living today has a rebellion against God. We are rebelling against what God teaches us in His Word. And this morning we're no better than those people of that day when they were building the Tower of Babel today. You see, what we want this morning to be in control of God. That's what you and I, that's what people really want this morning. They want to be in control of God. You see, that most people want a God that is on call. We want a God today that can make us healthy and wealthy. We want a God today that can heal our illnesses and our sicknesses. We want a God today that can do things for us, bless us in our lives. But we don't want to submit to the authority of God. Now you think about that this morning. You look around this world today, and you look and you think of the people that you talk to every day of your life. You find today that you can go into a manufacturing plant. You can probably go into schools. You can go into different places where people work. And you'll hear a lot and a great deal when a tragedy comes, when something begins to go wrong, when there's a need in somebody's life, they begin to talk about God. They begin to talk about the man upstairs. Where they begin to talk about the good Lord. But where are they today? I'm being ugly, but where are they this morning? Oh, they're probably playing golf, mowing grass, planting seed, whatever you want to think about this morning. Now, what's the difference? They don't want to come and worship God. They don't want to be obedient to God's word. They want God there on call when they need Him today. That's what Babylon was all about. We'll rebel against God. We don't really want a God in heaven to tell us what to do. We want a God that we can call on when we have a need in our life. And that's the world in which we're living today. Men want to control God instead of this morning following God and worshiping Him in truth and in spirit, you see. We want God today that's on a beck and call for us. And we find here that, you see, they wanted to reach unto heaven. You see, they wanted to go above God. In other words, they wanted to bring God down below them this morning. They wanted to make void and null His commands. We live in a society today that doesn't want to obey the commands of God. You listen to the things that you walk around in our society today, and we can, as I said, people can talk about God, but nobody wants to obey His commands. They want to take the Bible and do away with the Bible. Nobody wants to listen to what God says in His Word. But I want you to understand this morning, that God is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says that God doesn't change. And the Bible says this morning that above everything else, we need to understand that God's Word is settled. It's the same. It doesn't change. It's always the same. And this morning it's settled in heaven. And as a flower withereth and the grass fadeth away, but the Word of God endureth forever. And in this society in which you and I live today, we find that people do not want God in their life except for when they need Him. And that's what Babylon was all about, a society that today was in rebellion against God, that did not want God in their life. It's the seat where rebellion starts, where false religion starts, and we find where deception starts and where judgment starts. And so here in Revelation chapter number 18, we are reading about a city that is called Babylon. And Revelation 17, you find some exactly the same words, and we're going to look at that in just a moment this day. There's a lot of questions today about this chapter. A lot of things people begin to ask as you begin to read through Revelation, about Revelation 18. I just want to share some thoughts that you find today in this thing as God here, I believe, gives the lamentation, as He gives the alas, alas, as He preaches the funeral sermon for the world. You see, this is a united kingdom. It's united against God. In verse number 7, it says, how much she hath glorified herself. How much she has glorified, she's lifted up herself. She's united herself against God. You read over and you read verse 24, the last verse of the chapter, and it says, in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. It's a place that's united against God. It's a global kingdom. We're headed for a global union this morning, ladies and gentlemen. We look around our world today, and it seems the more that I see and the more that I read that we're headed today for a global union, for a union of all people united against God. We know that that's what's going to transpire in the last days, and that's what He's talking about here. As we look around this morning, we see a global economy looming on the horizon. People want to begin to try to make it a global economy. We want to have a cashless society where we can go this morning and we have a world without walls, where we can just go from one place to the other. And this morning we're seeing that transpire in the day in which you and I live. This morning you can find today and you can buy things from all over the world without ever leaving the comfort of your living room. You find today that our global economy this morning is looming, and we're going to have to start bailing out some of these nations. And all that's going to do is bring our economy in this country down lower than what it is today. How China's going to play out is getting depicted for us in Revelation 16, and I haven't got time to deal with that, but it's a global economy that people are looking at today. A global leader, we're going to talk about him in a moment, and a global nationality today. You see, we're living in a time when we want to destroy patriotism and destroy loyalty. When they burn the flag of the United States of America, and we have judges in federal court say that that's okay for them to do it. When we this morning can see this nation destroyed and the patriotism of our country being wreaked havoc every day. And we find this morning that as that begins to transpire and as the leaders begin to okay it today, what takes place eventually? We have no patriotism, we have no nationality, we have no loyalty, and we become a global society. As a global leader, you see this morning, he's the Antichrist. He's the ruler of this city called Babylon today. And he rules and reigns, and we find today that he's looming on the horizon. Somebody said, who is the Antichrist? Well, I can't tell you exactly. I can tell you many things about him this morning. I can tell you that he's going to rise, that he's going to come in great popularity, that he's going to take a kingdom by flattery, that he's going to come in his own name, that he's going to be received this morning, that he's going to come and take charge of the entire world for a brief period of time. And he's coming in his own name. And he's going to rule and reign. And of course his reign is going to turn into a reign of terror. But we find this morning that this individual, as he comes on the scene, is coming today as a man with the answers to all the questions. He's coming today as someone who can direct you and lead you in the right direction. Yet he's coming as the son of perdition. He's coming this morning out of a place called hell. And this man begins to rise, we find here that he rises with a kingdom, and God here preaches its funeral sermon. Now, how does it rise? How does this kingdom rise? You see, that's a great question you have to sometimes stop and ask. How does this, and people bow down to this. Sometimes it kind of makes you stop and think, why would we do such a thing? Well, look at this morning what he said in verse number 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. Now, this is an angel of God. He's bringing this morning a message from God. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Well, that'd be a bad place to live, wouldn't it? Notice verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wrath of her fornication. For all nations have drunk of the wrath of her fornication. Every nation is participating in this. This is a global thing today. This is something that the people are united together with. And they're united in spiritual fornication. They're united in rebellion against God. They're united this morning in rebellion against morality. They're united in rebellion against honesty. You see, this morning, this is a society that's been conceived and concocted by Satan himself. And this morning, we need to realize that it's a nation and a global kingdom that has been risen by the Antichrist in rebellion against God. Every nation have drunk of the wine of her fornication. But I notice the next one. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. You see, we see corruption. Talks here about it. It says the kings have committed fornication with her. We have corruption on every level. I mean, you begin to think about and you look at the world in which you and I live. Paul said in the book of 2 Timothy that there come a time when men would hate that which was good. The Bible says there's coming a time when they'll call evil good and good evil. And we're living in that time this morning. And it's a corruption of men's morals. It's a corruption of men's integrity. We see this morning, I think Jesse Jackson Jr. was just on a trial for corruption in the political system. And we see this constantly taking place. You think about this. If you really think this morning that there's any politician out there that really cares about you, I got some oceanfront property in Arizona. I'll sell you real cheap. Every politician that gets elected to any office, all they're really concerned about is getting reelected the next 2 years, 4 years down the road. You begin to look at it today. They care nothing about you and I. They're not there to express the desires and the wills of those that send them to office. They're there so they can get elected and they can have power and they can this morning do what they want to do. And it's just going to get worse and it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We're living in that time. And so this morning it's a place where corruption is rampant. We read today and we look at this and we think it can't get any worse. I want to tell you it's going to get a lot worse. The Bible says it's literally going to become hell upon earth. And if those days were not shortened, even the very elect would not be able to withstand them. And we're looking today, and as I look around our world, I'm seeing this take place. Then he talks about commercialism. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundances of her delicacies. They wax rich, the Bible says. In other words, they're swimming in money. They got more than they can spend. How much money do people need? I sometimes wonder that. You know, I'm just kind of, I guess, a little naive in a lot of things today, but, you know, I wonder how many clothes can a person wear? How many cars can a person drive? How many houses can a person live in? But you see, there's never enough. It's always this. We're living in a time when we want to get, we want to get, we want to get. And these merchants are waxing rich. They're filling their coffers. They're making money hand over heels. We're living in a time of big money. Big money corporations. Big money speaks. And you look around today and you see the Walmarts and the Targets and all these other major corporations have taken over our world. There's no more little mom and pops, and everything today is beginning to be taken over by the big merchants. And what's their idea? They want to make more money and more money. And they've waxed rich today. We're seeing that take place in our world. That's all it's about this morning. Then there's sin and rebellion. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. They don't want God. Nobody, very few people really want to submit to God today. I don't say nobody, because God does have his faithful. I don't want to get there. I want you to understand that, but you look at the world in general, they don't want God. Their sins and iniquities, the Bible says, eventually, has grown so great that God's about to bring judgment. There's a verse over in, I want you to look at verse 13. There's a phrase in that I want you to listen to carefully. And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil, and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves. And notice the last phrase there, and souls of men. Souls of men. That's an amazing thing when you read that. They're merchandising the souls of men. What does that mean? Well, I've wondered about that for many years, and I'm still not for sure. I know basically what it means, but it's really an intriguing and a terrifying thing that we see a global union, a global kingdom under the Antichrist. And one of their travesties, one of their products, is the souls of men. Wasn't that horrible today? But are we looking around today, we're seeing people who are dealing in the souls of men? Certainly. We're seeing that happen in our society. And we're going to see it continue to happen this morning. Because you see, these people have rebelled against God, and it's a time for that. But then you see the ruin. You see, that's what God is teaching us here. That this society that's going to be created by the Antichrist is going to come crashing and burning down. It's going to crash and burn. And the only hope is Jesus Christ. You see, he says, as those verses that I read you about the alas, verse number 23, listen, or verse 22. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more, and all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft be he shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more, and all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more, and all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more, and all of thee. For thy merchants were great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and the saints of all that were slain upon the earth. But you know what the next chapter begins with? It's not alas. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia. It's not alas, but it's hallelujah. Why? Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and had avenged the blood of his servant in hands. And they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, as a voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah today. I want to tell you the Lord God omnipotent is going to reign. I want to tell you, alas, alas, this world and the system of the Antichrist, those who have rebelled against God, those who have persecuted and killed God's people this morning, those today who have engaged in fornication and spiritual adultery with this system that the Antichrist is going to set up, are one day going to have to say, alas, alas. They're going to lament and cry because that system is crashing and burning. But praise God, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent shall reign forever and ever. I want to tell you the only hope this world's going to see this morning is hallelujah when Jesus comes again. Amen. And I'm convinced this morning that he's right around the corner. I'm convinced this morning that Jesus Christ is about ready to ride on the pages of history. He's going to come riding the white horse. Not the white horse of the Antichrist, but the white horse that conquers this morning. The faithful and true witness of God. I want to tell you, I want to be a part of the hallelujah bunch this morning, not the alas bunch. I want to be a part this morning and cry hallelujah unto God today. I want to be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him for the marriage of the Lamb has come. I want to be present at the marriage supper of the Lamb, don't you? Amen. Hallelujah today. You see, this morning we can look this morning and we can see, alas, alas, we can see all the bad things that are taking place in our world. We can note today that God's wrath and judgment is about to fall. But in spite of it all, we can still shout hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. The question is today, can you shout hallelujah? Amen. Can you this morning? You see, the only question today is Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. Are you in rebellion against God? Or are you this morning at rest in God? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Are you this morning still living in your sins and iniquities under the judgment of God? I'm glad this morning that you can come under the blood, that this morning God can become your Savior, that Jesus Christ this morning will redeem your soul. And one of these days, instead of saying alas, you can be shouting hallelujah. Amen. What will you be saying today, alas, or will you be saying hallelujah? That's the question you have to answer in your own heart this morning. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce B. and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've been together. We ask you to take your blessed word today and you'll help us this morning and you'll guide us and direct us in these days. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and what he means as we look around our world today. Thank you for the salvation that you brought to us through him. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. We love you this morning, Lord, and we ask you now to take this service and use it for thine honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.